Hey everyone, welcome back to Beta Finch. I'm Alex, here with Jordan as always, and today we're digging into Merck's second quarter 2026 numbers. Before we get into it, quick disclaimer. This podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Good disclaimer to lead with, because there's a lot to unpack here. This was a noisy quarter on paper, but honestly a pretty exciting one underneath the hood.
Right. Let's start with the headline numbers. Merck posted revenue of $16.6 billion, up 5%, or 4% if you strip out currency effects. Oncology and animal health carried a lot of that weight, plus growing contributions from newer launches.
But here's where it gets interesting. On the bottom line, Merck actually reported a loss of 13 cents per share. That sounds alarming until you realize it's almost entirely a one-time accounting quirk.
Exactly. They completed the acquisition of Terns Pharmaceuticals this quarter, picking up a promising CML, chronic myeloid leukemia, drug candidate. That came with a $5.7 billion charge, and because it wasn't tax-deductible, their tax rate for the quarter ballooned to over 160%.
Which tanked EPS by $2.31 a share. Take that out, and the underlying business is actually performing quite well. It's a classic case of red past the gap headline number.
They also raised and narrowed full-year guidance, now expecting revenue between $66.30 and $67.3 billion, 2-4% growth, and full-year EPS of $2.66 to $2.76.
Let's talk product performance, because this is really a story of old reliable versus new and exciting. Keytruda, the flagship cancer immunotherapy, grew 4% to $8.4 billion, still the workhorse. But management flagged that U.S. growth is moderating as it approaches peak penetration in a lot of indications.
Meanwhile, the newer stuff is popping. Winrevair, their pulmonary hypertension drug, was up 75% to $588 million. Welireg jumped 67%. Capvaxive, their pneumococcal vaccine, up 40%.
Those growth rates matter a lot for the bigger narrative here, which is what happens when Keytruda eventually loses patent exclusivity around the end of the decade. CEO Rob Davis addressed this directly in the Q&A. He called it more of a hill than a cliff, with a shallow dip and a fast return to growth, backed by more than $70 billion in commercial opportunity from over 20 new products.
And a big one this quarter was Lipfendra, the first oral PCSK9 inhibitor approved by the FDA for lowering LDL cholesterol. It got fast-tracked through a national priority voucher process.
This is a big deal because current injectable PCSK9 drugs only reach about 5% of the eligible market. Mostly because doctors and patients don't love needles for a chronic condition. An oral pill could meaningfully expand that market. Davis was clear they're not trying to steal share from injectables. They're trying to grow the whole pie. 30 million Americans are on lipid therapy, but not hitting their LDL targets.
There's also real pipeline momentum beyond Lipfendra. Sac-TMT, their TRO2 antibody drug conjugate for cancer, put up positive phase 3 results in endometrial cancer, ahead of schedule. Same with tulisokibart, their ulcerative colitis drug, which hit positive phase 3 results faster than expected to.
Dr. Dean Lee, their research chief, made a point of saying their confidence is actually higher now than it was back in January because so many of these pipeline bets are reading out early and positive. That's not something you hear often on earnings calls. Usually it's the opposite.
Not everything was rosy, though. Their immunology drug tulisokibart failed its primary endpoint in a scleroderma-related lung disease study.
But Lee made a nuanced point there. He said the placebo arm barely progressed at all, which makes it statistically hard to show any drug looks better. He was pretty adamant this doesn't kill the broader thesis around targeting fibrosis with this drug in other diseases like Crohn's or hidradenitis suppurativa, where a separate study actually did hit its goals.
One more thing worth flagging for investors. Operating expenses jumped to $12.6 billion, largely due to that turn's charge, but also increased R&D investment behind all these late-stage pipeline bets and new launches.
And a couple of near-term expectation setters for the back half of the year. Ohtuvayre, their COPD drug, will see a sales dip in third quarter due to inventory timing. No real demand issue, just a specialty pharmacy purchasing pattern unwinding. And Breedeon, an older anesthesia drug, is actually declining slower than expected because generic competition hasn't hit as hard as anticipated, a rare bit of good news on a mature product.
Also worth noting, capital allocation-wise, they're sticking to about $3 billion in share buybacks this year and remain committed to growing the dividend.
So bottom line for investors, the loss per share headline looks scary, but it's a one-time deal charge, not operational weakness. The core business is growing, guidance moved up, and the pipeline story that's supposed to carry Merck through the Keytruda patent cliff is de-risking faster than management, even expected a few months ago.
The things to watch heading into the second half: Lipfendra's commercial ramp, especially getting primary care doctors on board, the Winrevair label update decision expected September 21st, and more tulisokibart and sac-TMT data at their October investor event in Madrid.
Before we wrap, everything discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
That's a wrap on Merck's second quarter. Lots of moving pieces, but the underlying trend looks constructive heading into a busy back half of 2026.
Thanks for tuning in to Beta Finch. We'll catch you next time.